before I prepared this message, and it's all about God dwelling among us. But we have to be an active participant. And you know, I'll just be vulnerable with you. We were talking this morning before church, and I've got a little health challenge. It's not really a little health challenge. It's kind of a big health challenge. Nothing like a lot of other people have had to deal with, but it requires action on my part. I can't sit back and receive this medical challenge that I have. This is a challenge that I have to stand up and do something about. And so I said, I'm not going to take it. And it was really a wake-up call. I thought, you know, I remember seeing Francis Chan, kind of person, if you've ever seen him, he is sold out for God. So much so to the fact that he sold his house and moved to the inner city and picked up his family, and they've moved different places. And he trusted God to protect his family in the ministry, in the inner city, so he could minister. But he gave this example of this huge, huge long rope. And it stretched from one side of the building to the other side of the building, just a big, huge rope. And that had a little piece of red electrical tape tied in one end. And he said, this is your life. And he said, that one little part is your life on earth. The rest of it is eternity. And he said, what are you going to do in that little red spot? And you're being prepared for all of eternity, but what are you going to do with that one little red spot? And, you know, it shook me up. John and I took a staycation, and about Thursday, I didn't feel so great. And I said, this is not what staycation's supposed to be like. I'm supposed to be rested. And so, you know, I went to the doctor and I said, okay, this is my wake-up call. So I had to shake myself and get in the presence of God. I had to find God dwelling in my midst. And I had to get some direction and some wisdom, and I had to shake myself and decide. John came in last night. I'm up at 2 o'clock in the morning in the spare bedroom, and John came in. He said, are you okay? I said, yeah, I had to worship. I couldn't finish my message for today. I had to worship. And I said, I'm fine. I'm worshiping. 2 o'clock in the morning. I feel fine this morning. I have plenty of energy. God took that sleep. But I needed to be with him. And, you know, as I sat there on that bed just with my headphones and my Spotify going, and I'd go to songs and I'd play and I'd listen, all of a sudden things just started melting off of me. And I can't even describe the feeling of release as I went, okay, God, you know, you got this. And it's just like Patrick's word was on time. There are some things we have to walk through to show God's glory. There are some things that we just absolutely, it's a challenge. We can pray, but you know, this medical challenge that I've got, part of it's a little bit my fault. So I'm not going to ask God to take something that's my fault away from me. Now, part of it is hereditary, but part of it's my fault. So guess what? I'm going to take action and get busy with addressing something. But it really translated, you know, God sometimes has to teach us through the physical world what the spiritual lessons are that we need to learn. And so he says, okay, and maybe that's why Patrick's word is, we got to go through it. And so that's what I'm determined to do. I'll get back to my notes here and get started. God desires to dwell among us. Our theme has been for 2016, prayer and worship. And really, that's what we're talking about is worship this morning. And that God's original plan was to have a tabernacle where he could dwell among us. So when the people of Israel were freed from bondage, they left Egypt, they went into the wilderness, what did God tell them to do? Well, let's look at Exodus 25. Now, I'm going to tell you, you should go in your study time and read the building of the tabernacle. So Exodus 25, And it's actually it's Exodus 25 through 40. 15 chapters of the Bible was dedicated to building this tabernacle. That's how important it was to God to have it designed exactly the way he wanted it. He gave specific instructions about everything, even down to the formula for the incense that was to be offered up in the altar of incense, a formula. He was that specific because he wanted it exactly according to his directions. So in your study, it's Exodus 25 through 40. But I want to look at Exodus 25, verse 8 and 9, and this is the NIV, God desires us. So Exodus 25, verse 8, it says, "Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you." So God's going to give us a pattern for worship. And then if you turn over to John 1, 14 through 16. So we've got the Old Testament, but then John 1, 14 through 16. I'm going to give you a lot of verses today. Some of, if you want copies of my notes, you are welcome to have copies. This is one of those that it's real detailed. Have a lot of scriptures, so not all of the scriptures we'll turn to, but I'll cite them and you can look them up later. If you want copies of my notes, you can have them. But the New Testament scripture I want to look at is John 1, 14 through 16. And it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Christ wanted to dwell among the people. "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out saying, 'This is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given.'" So there's no way we could even be in God's presence if Christ hadn't come for us to cleanse us of our sins. So let's look at the tabernacle. The tabernacle was not a fixed place in one location, forever built and never moved. The tabernacle was a movable dwelling, and as the people moved wherever they moved, the tabernacle was built in the middle of their camp. So we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people, the Israelites, and the tabernacle was built right in the middle. Right in the middle. And so it was movable. It led the people. It was never meant to bring the people in. The people, it was supposed to dwell among them in the middle, and then the people would be living with God's presence in the middle of them. Here's my lesson for today. So if I'm letting the tabernacle be in me, my goal is not to bring people to this building. It is to carry the tabernacle of worship wherever I go. So that means it's movable according to wherever I go. So if God leads me to wherever it is, the tabernacle goes with me. If we go out door to door, or if we do a parking lot outreach, the tabernacle goes with me. God's presence dwelling in me should go with me every door that I knock on. Every store I go into, every place I go, every time we invite people over for dinner at our house, we should have the tabernacle among us. That word tabernacle actually means dwelling, the dwelling place of God. And so that should be movable. It's not a place. Our goal is not to fill this building. It is to teach people. Let me put it this way. Our goal as worship leaders and leaders is to create so many opportunities for you to learn how to have an encounter with God. I mean, that's what it comes down to. If you ask us what our goal is, why are we having, June 18th, outreach, Summer Fun Fest, where we give away clothes? We don't care about giving away clothes. What we want is to interact with people. We want to set up an opportunity where we can take God's presence to people. And so that's the goal of God dwelling among us, is to take that dwelling, that presence of the Lord to the people. So it was movable. So let me just tell you this. We have to come to church. I was so excited when I hear you interacting and praising and worshiping. When Patrick came up here, all he did is had to start, he said one phrase, and we're all ready to worship. That is when we are responding and not being a spectator. You know, the guys use the, John's used this example a lot of times. We can go to a sporting event. When he goes to the Gwinnett County Braves, you need to do that. When he goes to the Gwinnett County Braves, he comes back, he's hoarse. And I'll say, well, y'all must have been screaming and shouting. We need to scream and shout in church. Not that you have to, but we need to do something to not be a spectator. When I'm up here, I'm sorry, I watched a video of our nieces or our nephews dancing this morning. It was the most uncoordinated thing. I said, boy, that looks just like my child. My oldest, I love my oldest. He's skinny. He ain't got a bit of rhythm. Well, guess what? I don't have a bit of rhythm either. But I'm going to wave my arms and do everything I can, because that is for me to enter into worship. I don't know what it is for you. Whatever it takes for you to enter into worship, you have to figure that out. For me, when I flag, I try to flag over here, it's not for you. I don't want you to watch me. That is for me. Tia said, oh, you look like you were in the zone. I said, I don't know what I was doing. I said, I get over there and I'm totally, a lot of times I have to open my eyes because I'm afraid I'm going to fall over. I get that flag going and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, because I forget where I am, because my focus is on God. And that's the opportunities that we have. But it can't be just Sunday morning. It has to be, when we had our staycation, I had to have time of refreshing. I was tired. I was so tired and worn out. And you get that way too. Whether you take a staycation or a vacation, or you take, you know, if you've got little kids, you escape to the bathroom or something. Jenny, I don't know Jenny if she can even get to the bathroom. My kids, knock, knock. I don't know, but you've got to find a place where you can shut out the world. I put on those headphones, I put in my earplugs, and I just, whatever it takes to shut the world out. And I have to get in His presence. Get in His presence. All right. So the tabernacle. The tabernacle, there are direct connections to our lives today based on what the tabernacle was built then. First of all, Jesus Christ is an example of the tabernacle come to life and sacrificed for us. So that's New Testament. But let's look at, I'm going to see if John has the pictures. These pictures are horrible. I'm sorry. We need a new projector. Y'all believe for a new projector that is clear. But if you look at the tabernacle, maybe you can kind of sort of get a picture of this. In the tabernacle, there were several elements. You've got a gate, and then you have the brazen altar. Now, the brazen altar is where the lamb, the sacrifice, is killed. And even though it may have been a beautiful place, it may not have been very beautiful during that sacrifice. I mean, you think about beautiful churches. This was a hot, stinky, nasty, really, altar. The stench of blood, I mean, I'm not a hunter, so I don't know anything about hunting and killing and processing a lamb. But I can imagine in my mind, I know that in the Old Testament it talked about the blood dripping down over the altar. Think about how nasty that altar with that animal laid open, the stench, the hot fire. So that was the brazen altar. There is a cost to the offering. There was a cost of Christ for us, a huge cost. And so when I think about, and we're supposed to take our best to the altar, Jesus Christ, the absolute best, spotless lamb. And even the Israelites, when they brought their offering, they were to bring the spotless lamb without blemish, the perfect offering. Well, we have to do the same thing. You know what? This week, I had to bring all my junk and put it on the altar. All my sin, all my mistakes, all my stuff where I was falling short, all the things where I didn't measure up, my will, the things I wanted, I had to put on that altar and say, God, I surrender. Here's my offering. I've missed it. These are the areas where I need to do better. This is what I give to you. I surrender. It seems like that's been a month for me. Surrender, surrender, surrender. I'm learning to surrender and trust Him. But it takes a lot from us to realize, you know, sometimes we don't want to worship. We don't want to get in His presence. Because if you get in His presence, what is He going to do? He's going to show you where you fall short. He loves you with an unfailing love. He gave His Son for us, but He's going to correct whom He loves. And so He's going to show us, and sometimes we don't want to see it. But if we are going to be the people that have Him dwelling among us, we got to go to the altar first. We have to have that sacrifice. And so they also did sacrifices in the morning and the evening. And John is good. He's got this habit and he studies all these traditions and things. And that's a challenge for me. I'm going to try to get there where I have a time in the morning, even if it's short, a time in the morning and a time in the evening where I recognize and worship God and leave time for Him to speak to me. So that's that. The bronze laver was a place of cleansing. So now if the priests are doing all this, I mean, it's a mess. If they're doing this offering, what have they got to do before they can go into the tabernacle? They got to clean up. They can't go into the tabernacle with all this blood all over them. So they go to this laver and they wash. And do you know, even in Israel today, there are washing stations. And so anyway, the priest would go in and they would wash. They would wash their hands, they would wash their feet. Now, what does that symbolize for us today? Cleansing. We have to be cleansed too. I need to stop every once in a while and say, God, you just got to clean this mess up. You got to just speak to me. I'm sorry. From the sacrifice to the cleansing. Once I fall on my face and admit all the junk, then I want Him to get rid of it. Get rid of this mess that's my flesh. God, get rid of it. And so if you look, here's another point. This is what I needed this week. I needed the transforming of my mind. What is the only thing that can transform my mind? His Word. His Word. So I am cleansed and transformed by the washing of His Word through my spirit. So very important. So inside the tabernacle, if you go in the next picture, you can't even see it, sort of. On the left, you have the lampstand. It's a bronze lampstand. It's very beautiful, very ornate. And, of course, we can always think of a lot of scriptures that relate light. This was a lampstand that burned with olive oil, and it was never to go out. Now, think about this for a second. They're in the wilderness. There aren't any street lights. There aren't any building lights. It was dark in the wilderness. So, you know, I think about little kids being afraid of the dark. It was dark, but this light was beautiful and ever burning. And I think of the word light, illumination. Isn't illumination, as an English teacher, I love the word illumination. The word illumination also carries a lot of meaning with it. If we illuminate our minds, illuminate our spirit with the light that Christ and God's Word can bring into our lives, that's what the Holy Spirit is for. We teach in kids' church, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And so I tried to explain to them, what is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the one that takes this book that maybe sometimes you don't understand, and the Holy Spirit breaks it down for you. The Holy Spirit is like that. Kids relate to cartoons, don't they? Okay, kids relate to cartoons. You know, the good guy, bad guy. I said, the Holy Spirit is that constant voice that says, this is the way you should go. Illuminate our path. His word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. So we need the illumination. If you look in Exodus 27:20, it describes in the Old Testament the light. Jesus is the light of the world, John 8:12. We are to be the light of the world. And then on the other side, if you look, there is a table, and that's the table of showbread. There was one bread for all the 12 tribes. That means that every single tribe had provision. And you know, as I'm reading this, there are some scriptures. I'll give you this. It says, God's provision in meeting people's needs, God fed the people. Jesus was the bread of life. God provides what we need. Matthew 6:25 through 34. We as Christians are daily in God's presence. You can't get manna on Sunday that's going to last you the whole week. Why did God provide the manna daily? Because he wanted the people to rely on him. We have to rely on him. And you know, I thought about this. I thought some people think, well, you know what? I just don't know about if God has a plan for me. They just kind of keep going along. If there was a piece of bread for every single tribe, that means every person in every tribe had provision. That means that God always has provision for us. I think I heard that in one of our songs. There is always a place for every single person. Everybody has a plan. So if you move forward, there was the altar of incense, and you can see it burning in the back. It says, incense was continually burned at the altar, and it stood in front of the veil that was separating the place into the Holy of Holies. And so the high priest was to make atonement on its horns once a year. The altar of incense represents prayer. Now, here is the best assurance I could ever trust, is that Christ lives to make intercession for us. He sits at the right hand of the Father. You know, I can't ask for any better intercessor for me. But we as Christians need to be interceding for each other. You know what? I have people on my mind. When God pops a face in front of you, there's a reason for that. You need to be praying for that person. Or if you've ever driven somewhere and you think, oh, that looks like so-and-so. And maybe it's not, but God wants you to pray for that person. We need to constantly be alert. God, let me pray. There have been times when I know God has spoken to me to prevent me from going a certain way, doing a certain thing, making a certain decision, and later we find the repercussions of what, you know, what would happen if we had gone another way. Jenny and I have had that experience before where we felt, I don't know, I'm feeling this. And later we may find out, well, you know what, that's what would have happened. So we need to constantly be praying, interceding, listening for the voice of God so that he can lead us and direct us. And you know, I think about, this is funny because I'm real, John will laugh, I am real funny about smells. If I walk in my house and it smells bad, I'm going to let you know it. And I think how wonderful that incense burning must have been. And the Bible even talks about the sweet aroma of our prayers to God. In other words, that's a sweet aroma to God. When God sees us interceding on behalf of others, that is a sweet aroma to God. Last night as I was preparing, we have this little room deodorizer. And I forgot it was there. I try to hide our little room deodorizers and air fresheners. And so I'd hid this behind a table. And all of a sudden, I started smelling this. And it smelled so wonderful. And I said, God, I want my time in your presence to be like that to you. I want to always come before you with thanksgiving, not always with my needs, but on behalf of others. But to always be in intercession and always be open to listening. Sometimes God just wants to spend time with us. It's healing for him to dwell among us. It is healing for him to dwell among us. So if you look at a scripture, it says, Romans 12:12, Christians are to be continually in prayer. And then there was the veil. The inner veil hung between the holy place and the holy of holies, and it was passed only once a year by the high priest on the Day of Atonement. If you want to look that up, that's in Leviticus 16. Now, you know, as I'm reading this, they said the veil was 4 inches thick. Now, you think about something that's 4 inches thick. Is that about 4 inches? I guess. But when Christ was crucified, what happened? That veil was torn, right? And I think about that and I think that was no small act. But that tearing of that veil allowed us to enter the Holy of Holies, to be in God's presence. If Christ hadn't died, we could not be in God's presence. And so I thought, are there veils that I've allowed to come in my life that have kept me from entering boldly into his presence? And again, somebody said it this morning. I think John said it during communion. Do we go boldly before God? And I thought, because of all my junk, sometimes I don't go boldly before God. Because I start beating myself up. I am probably anybody else beat yourself up? I beat myself up. I don't know if that's a woman thing or if men do it too, but, you know, I can beat myself up before I even do anything. Well, I shouldn't do that because I'm going to mess it up. And I beat myself, and God says, what are you doing? What are you doing? I am all he says I am. See, the enemy has won if he keeps you from God's presence. He has totally won. He doesn't have to strike you down. He does not have to do anything if he can just keep you out of God's presence. If he can keep you from hearing God's voice, Satan's won. Period. So we have to make sure we enter boldly and we realize we're going to mess it up. And thank you, Lord, for the cross and grace that is never ending. Because we can go boldly into the Holy of Holies. Hebrews 10:19-20 teaches that this veil represents Christ's body, and it was given for us at the cross. And then in Matthew 27:50-51, at any time we can go into God's presence. Anytime we can go into God's presence. And then there was the Ark of the Covenant. If you can go to the next picture. This is blurry, but the Ark of the Covenant. Now, you know, I didn't think about this, but the Ark of the Covenant, and then it has the mercy seat on top, and it says, I'll have to turn to my next page here. Of course, it was a symbol of God's law and was the throne of God, but here's something that was interesting. I just didn't think about it. The sacrificed blood was sprinkled on the ark to cover the sins of the people. Now you think about this beautiful ark that was made of a certain kind of wood and it had gold overlay, but it had to be pretty dirty because it was sprinkled with the blood of the sacrifice to cover the sins of the people. And then I think, gosh, Lord, your blood was spilled because of my sin. What an ugly picture that was. And you know, when we went to see The Passion, I could not, we were in a theater, and that was the first time when I saw that. And when that cry started, I guess when his blood was spilled from the beginning of the beating to the end, that was the most horrific thing. And I made myself watch it, but I cried the entire time because I realized we forget his body was flesh like ours. What a sacrifice obviously I couldn't have done that, but what would we have done had we suffered that kind of beating and torment on our bodies? What a pain and sacrifice. And so the blood is spilled on the mercy seat to cover our sins. So this beautiful, beautiful Ark of the Covenant, but yet it had the blood that was sacrificed for us. And so here's my lesson in, I had to take it, because I always, when I do a Bible study, I am very practical. I want to take a Bible study and study it, but then I want to, okay, God, what are you telling me? What is it? Why did you want me to study this? And how do I apply it to my life? Well, first of all, I know I have to be active in my relationship with Him. I have to pursue God. God's original purpose was to dwell among us. He sought us. He wanted to dwell among us. What is our response? If I'm not being active, I am really not appreciating and thankful for the blood of the cross. And so I want to be active in this. I need to realize there's a sacrifice required. Christ was the sacrifice, but there's a sacrifice for me that's required. I have to humble myself and let God see me. There's a cleansing. If I don't every once in a while stop and realize what my junk is and ask God to cleanse me from it, I can't move forward. I cannot move forward. And I need light and illumination to flood my life. I need God to take every single area. And you know, I've been praying for some things for a while. God is doing amazing miracles. I may have a health challenge, but I got some amazing miracles in our family going on. And it's because I'm trying to stop. Well, first of all, it was because I surrendered and stopped trying to fix it myself. That was the first thing. That was my sacrifice. Not my will, God, but let me listen to you. But when He illuminates my mind and says, do it this way. Say this, plant this seed, do this, pray this way, pray for this healing, He tells me exactly how I need to pray. And so I'm diligent and I write that down. Provision daily. I have to go before Him daily. I'm telling you, my day, I've learned this couple of weeks, and I knew it. If I don't make sure and have that provision daily, my life's going to be out of kilter. Out of kilter. So I have to make sure and get my provision daily. Daily provision. Communication and prayer. So dwelling with God, there's a sacrifice required. There's cleansing that's necessary. I need light and illumination. I need daily provision. I need to communicate with God. I need to talk, but then sometimes I need to be quiet and listen. I need to listen to Him speak to my heart. And there's restored relationship. When I listen to Him, when I've sacrificed and I've cleansed and I've let the Word and His voice illuminate my mind and I've gotten my provision, then relationship is restored. Have you ever been in a time when you didn't think you could hear God? Well, you got to go to what you know. Okay, God, this is what I know. I know I need to make sure and humble myself, get my things right. I need to cleanse myself. What do I go through the steps I know. And I said, God, I can't live without hearing your voice. But if I can't hear your voice, I'm going to at least take the steps I know that are lined up in your word. I'm going to make sure my life is lining up to be obedient to what I know. Act on what you've given. You know, faith is not knowing the next step, but walking forward. We don't always know the next step, but you keep walking. That's faith and trust in God. That is faith and trust in God. Restored relationship. And life birth. Let me tell you, I forgot to mention this, but if I look back at my notes, in the Ark of the Covenant, there were the stone tablets, there was a jar of manna, and there was Aaron's rod. Now, Aaron's rod was budded. Aaron's rod was cut off. It was a rod, but it had buds on the end. How do you have life when it's not connected to the tree? Only God. And you know what that told me? You can take a dead branch. We have a lot of dead branches in our yard. We have a lot of work to do. But God can take anything that's dead and make it live again. That may be your life. That may be a circumstance. It may be a situation. It may be a job. It may be finances. Whatever it is that you think is dead, God can speak one word and bring it to life. And that rod of Aaron was budded. Even though it was cut off, it budded, you know, a flower bud. It grew because God caused growth to occur, a rebirth. And so I looked at that. I said, okay, God, this is for me. If I'm allowing you to dwell in me, if I do all of these things and I'm going to dwell in your presence, that's abundant life. You know, we talk about all the time, as Christians, we should have abundant life. Abundant life is not, you know, I could look on Facebook. You know, there are a lot of people that love to show all their fancy vacations and brand new car. I like to, John would love to have a brand new car. But you know what? This last, we went to the mountains and just, it was wonderful because we just spur of the moment decided, let's just go to the mountains. It wasn't fancy. It wasn't Italy or, I'd love to go to Italy or Paris. Guess what? That ain't in the budget. I wish. Let's start saving our pennies. However, I can go to the mountains and spend time with my family and put everything aside, all the electronics, all the stuff, and be with people. Don't you know that's what God wants us to do with Him? Put it all down. Because all that stuff will pass away, but that time invested in His presence will create a growth and a fruit in you that will never pass away. Amen. Never, ever pass away. That's value. That's abundant life. And so that's what I feel like God is asking us, is to live, go deeper in your worship. Live abundant life. Let me dwell among you so that you can take that tabernacle of His presence out wherever you go and make a difference.